Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. A little tongue-tied today. The Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Five-year anniversary show. Today is our five-year anniversary. So happy anniversary to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour.
Yeah,
I almost got the name wrong.
That's great. Yeah, 5 years we've been doing this together.
Yes, we have. And actually, it is to the day. Today is the exact date of the five-year anniversary. We did start broadcasting on August 18th, 2012. So it happened to coincide the day we aired the show with the actual anniversary. So we do have callers in the queue, but Neil, maybe we can, I think we're going to also be talking today about psychic development, which is a continuance of what we've been discussing on the past few shows. But is there anything you wanted to say regarding, you know, the 5 years? We just had our 500th show special. So it's interesting. Two fives.
Yeah.
A 10.
It's over 500 shows.
Yeah, our master numbers together, too. 10.
Yeah.
Five and five.
So over 500 shows and 5 years on the air. Yeah, I've been doing this a long time, well before even 5 years. But it's nice to have Kristen as a partner and to develop these shows in such a way that we are of service to people and giving readings as well as maybe providing a little bit of information along the way. As most of our listeners know, we are working on a massive book on numerology. It's well over 1,000 pages of notes as we speak. Deep stuff about numerology.
Yeah, that we don't even get to on the show, actually.
No, we won't until the book is published.
Right. So, you know, we've had requests for more conversation, which we, you know, of course we offer instruction on the show and we want to help guide people in their lives and in regard to spirituality and psychic energy. But there's so much that we're not talking about.
Well,
we're
not limited until the book is published. But
right.
we do try to give some brief surface stuff about birth dates and numbers and things like that. And then, of course, our today's topic of the show, how to develop or how to further develop psychic abilities, which is a huge topic and hardly be handled in 15 minutes that we devote.
If only one could develop his or her psychic ability in 15 or 20 minutes,
yeah.
That would be great.
Well,
it's a longer process of experiencing.
Even if one is gifted and has these innate qualities that they brought in from a past life or they've developed over time, there's still the agenda of further developing your talents and doing it through study and meditation and research.
As in any pursuit.
Yeah.
So psychic energy is no different and, in fact, is more complex. I mean, we talked about the simplicity of it yesterday, but in some ways, yes, it is more complex than other skills that you're developing because it's not, you know, it's not concrete.
But it isn't. And when we get into the idea that we have seven major compartments in our being, containing the seven chakras, each chakra is codependent on the other chakras. And each chakra does hold some sense of psychic ability. Of course, most of it's grouped in the sixth chakra with the pineal gland and the mind and cosmic consciousness and all that. But believe it or not, the ability to be psychic starts in the first chakra because that's where the intuition, that's where the instincts are. That's when the caveman would venture out of the cave and wonder where that saber-toothed tiger was. The sense of knowing something about the cosmos, about looking at waterfalls or stars and starting to formulate cave paintings.
Well, and the kundalini is in the base of the spine too.
Kundalini,
so that's,
yes,
that's connected
true.
To the first chakra as well, which is
and that,
part of the whole
that
system.
That kundalini is a good point. That kundalini that travels up the chakra system, it gathers with it the momentum and energy of rebirthing and sexuality, of creativity and the emotional status of the heart, which is also a psychic energy, the throat and communication, which allows us to articulate psychic information. Of course, the brow, which is full of that blossoming of imagination that takes us to dimensions far beyond the physical. And then the topmost one, spirituality, which involves the ethics and the morals and the attitude of what it is to be outside of the body and to conduct oneself on a spiritual level, which I think is the epitome of consciousness. And then to bring that information back down to earth with some sense of divine connotations and substance. This is what the greatness of being a human being is all about.
Right. But let's talk a little bit about being psychic, because being psychic doesn't require one to be spiritual, actually. You can be a psychic and you don't have to have that the seventh chakra active. So that's a key, I think, in what we try to disseminate here on the radio about psychic energy, is that it is very important to connect one sixth chakra to the seventh chakra, because then you have
Without question. But yes, there are psychics who are immoral, who there are psychics who don't believe.
We can say not immoral. We could say they're just, agnostic, and they don't connect their abilities to anything higher. They may,
innate
ability, and that's it.
There are psychics who just know things and they tell you things, and they don't have to ascribe it to anything but just being psychic. So having that ability is one thing. And then the way it's clothed and the approach one uses in terms of the overall essence of who they are as a person is another. But sure, there are hundreds of psychics out there that are very talented and very accurate, but that doesn't mean that they've incorporated a sense of seventh energy in their reading. A lot of them are very ego-based people. And they take pride in that ability. So the journey that we have in life is, I think we have to fulfill the whole spectrum of human consciousness, which of course for Chris and I would involve spirituality. So that's our approach. But still, if we're talking about developing psychic abilities, we also have to talk about developing the intellect. Developing the mind in terms of having a vast knowledge.
Of many different subjects, because that comes into, it's very helpful when giving a reading, knowing all types of people, knowing about different subjects, math, science, psychology, all aspects of, the planet, human existence. So you can, assist
it's
many different types of people, a spectrum of people, in a more effective way.
Correct.
If you're only schooled in a couple of different areas, then you're going to be limited in how you can help others.
Well, that's why, there are psychics who will say, you will do this on Monday. This will happen this day. You have four brothers. They just give this information. When you get a psychic that has a layer of psychology and can almost be a psychic / psychologist or therapist, then you get into a stronger depth that the psychic is more or less a guide.
And
it's just like giving information.
Not only that, but the symbols that appear to a psychic can be better analyzed if there's knowledge about a wide variety of topics.
Yeah.
So it's not just about knowing certain things. It's about analysis.
Yeah, analysis and interpretation, the art of interpretation, since biblical days, the idea of analyzing dreams and knowing what things mean, and a lot of psychics receive symbols. And indeed, even in the form of interpreting what a psychic is getting in the idea of a vibration or a picture or a sense, some kind of bodily sense of something, and then transforming that into a language would require the fifth chakra. So you need to have that union of the fifth chakra, the throat, unionized with the sixth chakra, so that the two go in place and hopefully they are in agreement, and that not there's not misinformation given. Because don't forget, misinformation is one thing, misinformation is another. So psychics hope to be accurate. And if you, the higher you are on the energy level of the chakra system, and the more you develop that, the more accurate you might tend to be, except for those that just work on a base level of a lower chakra system, however psychic they
may
be.
Right, and there's those that claim to be psychic that, you know, aren't really psychic, and they're dispensing information, and it's inaccurate, so that's very misleading. I'm seeing stuff online about, you know, people doing psychic training for others, and it involves, you know, taking a photo and saying, there's like a series like of three cups, and there's something under one of the cups, and people are supposed to guess, you know, which cup holds the item that's hidden.
Yeah.
You know, that's not psychic training, really. I mean, that's a guessing game.
I mean, you know, it's in the family of being intuitive or something, but you know, I mean, that it's sort of a game. That's sort of a game, and it doesn't really amount to what the depths of being a true psychic human being is. Being a true psychic being is not a guessing game where you can guess what ball is under what cup. I've seen monkeys do that, and I don't want to put down monkeys.
No,
but we like you monkeys. Know, it's not. That's not what it's about. It's not a look at me. I know where it was, or I know what was behind what door. We're missing out on the human element here of what it is to be gifted and psychic, and how we help humanity. It's not to show off that we have an answer or we know where the hidden key is. That kind of corrupts the idea of it, even though there is something in the element of being psychic that involves that hunch. When we get into psychics that can locate killers or dead bodies,
right?
People will call us and try to find the missing key that they lost. I mean, there's a certain element there about search and discovery. That
right, but it takes more than just that. And if people are training on a sheer basis of finding something under, you know, locating something under a hidden, in a hidden location.
Device. You know, back in the 60s, I was teaching people, doing all kinds of, you know, interactions and things like that, and blind walks, and trying to let the person blindfolded feel what was in their environment. All of that kind of helps.
Right, but it's a part of a big piece. I mean, it's a piece of the pie. So you need a pie, not just a piece.
Yeah.
You need a whole pie.
Certainly do.
Yeah.
Certainly do.
We can continue this on Wednesday. You want to take some callers?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right. 856 is our first. Hello.
Oh, hey, Duo. Congrats. Happy anniversary.
Hi,
Gwendolyn. 66.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you? 626, 69, right?
Yeah.
39.3. And yeah, I was thinking about you the other day, Gwendolyn. I think
I'm doing much better.
A lot of our callers, so you are one of them. What's going on?
Oh, thank you. Hey, I navigated this game plan for the last year. I'm stuck with my gut. Allowed myself to be guided and led. Came from one side of the country back to the other. I finally landed. Determination, perseverance, allowing myself to be guided, staying as calm and grounded as possible at every corner. So now I feel like I'm going over another crossroad. Master one thing, now time to do the next and bring further actions into play. So I don't know, like, according to my birthday and birth plan, I feel like I'm where I should be at this point after all I've been through and all I've accomplished and overcame through it all, because I know me and I wouldn't have done this to me. So for me, it's certainly not about the few. It is certainly about me, but it's about the many. So I want to take it to the many, because this kind of nonsense in this world that people are put through, I've met a lot of great people, don't get me wrong, but there are flaws. And it's not acceptable. So for me, I want to take it to a different level and expose it is where I'm at. So I'm at a little, I feel a little blocked from it. Not sure if it's the exact right time, but I know I have to make movement. I've been preparing. So I'm hoping that either through the numbers or through a guided message, I can just be a little bit more directed today.
Okay, well, you know, Gwendolyn, it's interesting because you just turned 48, correct? Is that right, 48? So she's on
yes.
her fourth cycle of 12 and her 16th cycle of 3.
Yes.
So you're on a multiple right now. So it is a changing time. You know, in terms of some of the physical things that are going on in your life, what happened with that hearing? Because we had talked about that on the last show, if you don't mind me asking, with your kids.
I was so screwed. So what I did, I left all of them out of it. I totally turned to me, about me, taking it to an end line, navigating this homeless, stupid situation I was in. Don't get me wrong. I've learned a lot. I've met a lot of people. It seemed very guided, right things at the right time, making moves exactly when I knew I should be making them to land myself back with a roof over my head, work, sustaining myself for now. Well, for always, but back to just me, about the eggs in my basket again. I've always given everybody else a chance to put their eggs in a basket I've already created. No more. They broke all my eggs. I'm done with that. So that being said, like, I'm now recovering physically. Like, my feet need surgery, both of them. They're horrific. They hurt so bad, but I go to work every day. I stand on them all day. I do what I have to do. I'm not the one to be held down.
So you're working. That's good.
Yes, I'm back working. It's back to the beginning. When Neil had the vision of that trailer back when, I'm like, okay. It clicked in my head as I go along, as a lot of things will once they're given some type of message. It's totally back to the beginning of me rebuilding, but rebuilding up for me, not allowing anybody else on my train. Helping others up along the way, great, but not allowed on my train ever again. I've done that my entire life.
Gwendolyn, because we have other callers, do you want to say something?
Mm-hmm. You know, right now, the idea of your sense of self-discovery and coming to this crossroad where you move into your own psyche and start to repair and take care of it and develop it, evolve it. This is significant in the aspect of the three sixes you have in your birth date, the six in the month, the six in the day, and the six in the year. What that is it's a gradual climb. It's the way that your psyche evolves to the place to where you finally are in the center of yourself. And being in the center of yourself, which is basically the fourth chakra, the heart chakra, where you can see both three sides of chakras on either end, the first three are the higher three, you're given a perspective now of seeing your life in balance. So what you're doing is you're going inside to gain balance, and to gain self-balance, and thereby not to be distracted by whatever people want or need or how you're trying to be of service to them. So this is a period right now, and it's going to last, even until June of 2018, where you are to focus on yourself and have that sense of self-direction and not to do so with the additives of guilt or that you have to be there for somebody else at the moment. I mean, I don't mean to imply that you can't be there for people and help people, but the center of your energy right now is the consciousness of Gwendolyn's third eye and looking that energy in such a way that you graduate to a higher transcendent nature. That's where your nine is in your year.
Yeah.
And that will establish you to be even a better person afterward in helping others because you have centered yourself most significantly within yourself. So right now, having a roof over your being involved with yourself is most important. And I think it's that concentrated effort, Gwendolyn, that will help you even enhance your future as you move forward. But this is going to be a good year between now and June.
Okay, Gwendolyn.
Cool.
Well, hopefully that helps.
Thank you so much. Congrats, guys. Take care.
Thank you.
Gwendolyn.
Take care. Okay.
Good day.
And we have Cheryl, 805. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. Good morning, both of you. Happy anniversary. I didn't know it was your anniversary.
Well, it's our show anniversary, not our wedding anniversary. But yes,
thank you. Okay.
We can't hear you today, which is normally you're loud and clear.
Okay. Is this better?
Somewhat. It's real. faded.
I can hear you, but it's okay.
So, yes, what's going on?
So what I want to find out is I wanted to see if you feel that there's any kind of move in
That's
work
better.
Or even location coming up for me, because I just, something needs to give, you know, like big time.
You went, you know, Cheryl, you're fading in and out, but you got louder for a minute. So if you could get to back to that point of being loud, talking right into the receiver, it would be good.
Yeah. Did you?
That's good.
Yeah. Okay, good. I don't want to yell then. Okay. Yeah, I don't know if you guys see any kind of move in location or work. I mean, I think of like planning weddings or trying to open a swap meet or doing some kind of work to bring my, you know, kids into it, you know, teaching them commerce or work, or a move, like, you know, like selling my home and moving.
Where would you move? Like within California or out of the state?
I don't even know, because I'm so afraid to leave here being a native, but I don't know. That's why I was saying, you know, maybe DSC. I don't know.
You know, from what we gathered, you have a beautiful home up there, and there are a thousand oaks, and in that area.
Yes.
And, I mean, that's an ideal situation right now. It has a very good reputation and whatnot. And so, but if there's a restlessness, if there's something calling you to move out of that area, and you're answering to the journey of your soul, well, that's a whole different element that will defy the logic of where your current location is. So there's something burning inside of you.
Well, obviously. I was going to ask, I mean, Cheryl, you have multiple properties. Is it possible to, you know, keep what you've got in Thousand Oaks and then perhaps, you know, keep one of the properties elsewhere so you have somewhere to escape
to?
Yeah,
well, I'm kind of dwindling down on the amount that I have. There's two, that I'm getting rid of. I have the one near Sedona, Arizona, but I feel really called to the ocean area. And the thing about this house, which it's a big house, kids can live here, is they can never afford to live around here. So eventually they'll have to scatter. I mean, the jobs, the pay, the real estate prices.
Yeah, it's expensive.
You know, so it's like, I mean, I could like take this house and sell it and probably go buy five somewhere else, but I don't know where that would work because I'm really drawn to the ocean. So
yeah, and then when you're buying five houses, they're probably not going to be oceanfront, that's for sure.
You know, well,
I mean,
right.
Unless you're, you know, going somewhere like Mexico or something.
I could rent in between. I mean, you know, the thing is, last time in 2006, when things crashed, literally some real estate was 80% lower. Like, my brother's not homeless now because of that one condo that he has in Henderson. You know, he lives in one of the places that I bought. That place is worth like 80 now. It used to be worth like 180, and I got it for like 23 grand. So, I mean, I'm even willing to maybe go rent and then jump in when, you know, it's just, it's an intuitive thing for me. That would be a big thing for me to do, but.
Well, you're dealing, you know, Cheryl, you're dealing with two different aspects here. One is you're dealing with the material body, meaning where do I move that might be more lucrative and productive for me? And then you're also talking about the soul, meaning that I need to be by the ocean. My soul needs that salt content, the ocean itself. So we have what happens oftentimes in our existence is the soul and the body start to fight one another. And so it's an attitude of what's going to make you more content. If you want to be by the ocean and you feel that's in your soul, if it's something that's going to nourish your soul because there's something about the ocean itself that goes deeper than the skin, then you've got to start thinking about areas near the ocean and get Arizona out of your head. If you're thinking that there's something lucrative about real estate and moving to a different area and producing in that area a sense of well-being in terms of security, money, the establishment of a home, then you have to kind of let go of the soul purpose, maybe reinvent it in a drier area of the map. But, you know, you're going to have to figure out the battle between that, first of all, before you make your move. You have to say, what's more important right now, my soul, my longing for the sea and to be by it and live by it, or Do I have to be more practical and let go of that and let my body be maintained by finding a more secure physicality of my existence, meaning money, security,
well,
home?
I think it's other people. Well, because I'm not even thinking of the money part. I'm thinking about my kids' part. Like, I could stay here or move closer to the ocean, but my kids will mean a part being far apart from them eventually. I feel that coming up where, you know, maybe Texas might have some more coastal areas. I mean, maybe up the coast. I don't know. But I just feel like eventually they're not going to be able to stay here. I mean, they're already stuck living at home. I know millions.
But are they
going to
really relocate? I mean, if you're thinking about your kids, are they going to relocate to somewhere like Texas on the coast, or are they going to find somewhere?
I mean, my daughter would. My almost 15-year-old would, and my other son talked about wanting to get out of here. So it was so weird that it's like nobody's really stuck here with a meaningful job. So no, there's not a need to have to stay here. I mean, I'm a native here, so it's like it's different for me. Now, having said that, when I go to Arizona, I'm telling you, I stay happy when I'm there. Like Sedona and Cottonwood, that area around there, I am always happy and peaceful when I'm there. But it's not realistic. I mean, I don't think I can get my whole family to move there, not right now. But it is peaceful, safe, and you know, you can't really even be in a bad mood when you're there. That's how great the energy is.
I think I might be in a bad mood because of the heat. Isn't it really hot?
I couldn't take it. People can live in Vegas. There's a lot of hot states people live in, but the trade-off, or if you're, you know, you get up at 5, 6, 7 in the morning, do anything that you need to do outside. So people that live in hot areas and have no feel good. I mean, there's no, at least you're in a positive area. It does get hot.
Yeah.
Only like,
you know,
probably,
I mean, you have to start to communicate and listen to your body and your mind and your soul and actually formulate some kind of agreement. Ultimately, if you're in a position where maybe you can think ahead and provide a home for your children or set aside a trust fund or something to what they can take advantage of and make their own choices, that might be one thing. But to locate, to make your children happy, there might be taking something away from your own energy in doing that, I think. So I can't really suggest that you just think of your children in terms of where you want to live,
right,
and what their comfort levels are, as opposed to where you want to be first. And then from there, trying to resource how to secure their well-being.
How many children are under the age of 18?
No, just the one. The other ones are
just
older,
one.
But the jobs out here. Yeah.
Right.
The jobs out here, 10 or 12 an hour. A one-bedroom, you know, $1,400 a month. It's like everybody knows this is an issue. This is going on throughout the U.S. I mean, it's everybody's suffering that way.
I would venture to suggest, though, maybe waiting on a move until that child is, like, out of high school, just because that can be, I mean,
yeah,
a
I
move
mean,
across the country might be, you
your,
know,
your children
traumatic.
Your children have to find their own way, too. And it doesn't mean that you can't be a financial assistance to them, Cheryl, but I don't know. I don't think on this show we can immediately address your situation. I think it's layered. And
there's a lot of parts, too. That's even if my son stays in school, he may go for a bit, he may homeschool. There's so many different options and changes in the world. I was going to say that eclipse coming up, I don't know if you guys looked at it, there's a lot of numerology and different dates and stuff. I wondered if you guys looked at that too.
Astrology has its place, Cheryl. I mean, for us, there's a place, yes. There's it plays a part in things on a certain level, but really we don't follow the stars or the planets. And I mean,
right,
the impact of a planet or an eclipse, you know.
The individual journey, I think, it supersedes anything that the planets have arranged for massive communication. I think that's okay for a massive worldly view, but when we get into the individuality of being a psychic and that each person is a unique being and they have different paths to take, that to me, and I think to Kristen, is the much more intriguing path that we follow in terms of that, as opposed to this mass communication of psychic evaluation.
Right.
That's a whole different
area. They were
just
talking about 333 and then
but not
different numbers.
So
I didn't know if you followed
individual process.
Okay. Well, I thank you guys, and as always, and you have a great weekend.
Oh, you too. Check in with us in a few weeks or so, and we'll find out what's going on with you. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Bye. Yeah, there is a major eclipse, and Bonnie Tyler is singing. Do you know Bonnie Tyler?
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
I don't know.
No, you don't.
Is she lying over the ocean?
No, she's the one who sang Total Eclipse of the Heart in the
80s. Yeah, I know
who you are. And she's actually
the raspy
singing.
Voice.
Exactly. She's got a real raspy mezzo voice.
Yeah.
But she's singing on a cruise ship the night of the eclipse. So
it's
like, you know, she's very excited about it, apparently.
Well,
I don't normally follow her career, but this is something I found out. So she's celebrating. Yeah, people go nuts over.
The natural phenomena of
astrology,
our solar system is vastly fascinating. It's fascinating. Eclipses is fascinating. It's finding a fossil from an ancient prehistoric age. I mean, it's all fascinating stuff. And there's no, that's what we were talking about before. Knowledge is there's a certain addiction to knowledge that we should have. And finding out about all forms of life and how everything interacts, not just on a psychic level, but on a worldly level, on a natural level. And when we talk about the seven mysteries of life, and we talk about what's going on in the oceans and on the land, in the air, in the cosmos, and then pertaining that to the flow of human, human movement, and how we've evolved on the planet in terms of our consciousness and our bodies and our inventions. All of this is vastly important. But when we get back to the eclipse, the fascinating thing about that is the cosmic language that human beings first had with the cosmos, that this is an element of great interest. Animals that usually are sleeping during the day come out at night. Animals that are usually in the day burrow into their burrows. The whole world is affected by this, no matter how brief the period of time is. And then it reminds us about the juxtaposition of the sun and the moon and how those elements first were stirred by creation in terms of separating the day from the night. And when we have that merging of one element of day being night and night being day, we get into the idea that everything is based on oneness. So that oneness, to me, is
right,
the
merging of that duality
energy
in
that the moon and the sun, that there's going to be this total eclipse. And, you know, what's that going to mean to our life? What does it mean to the sense of creation and the movement of the cosmos? That's, to me, the most important thing, that in terms of the physics of astronomy, that all of this is happening spontaneously. And that's how we have to look at life, that life, that time is spontaneous and always occurring at one moment in time, whether it's past, present, or future. That's what we want to capture in that spontaneous moment of revelation. So to me, it's not so much as to how we read our lives according to that,
but how we read
our existence, the inner being of just being a human being that's existing on the planet to experience the awe and wonder of this occasion.
Right, as opposed to the eclipse actually affecting our individual walks in life because of whatever power the solar system has over the individual lives.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, when we were talking about psychic development and how we get into the solar system of our own being, because we are a cosmos within ourselves.
Right. I mean, the chakra systems are almost like the planets.
Well, yeah. I mean, and there's seven,
there's seven
energies.
Right.
I mean, there's seven layers of all kinds of phenomena when we talk about the matter of seven, not only in the sense of creation, but in the sense of a lot of the order of things.
Mm-hmm.
There's a seventh is a sacred number. So what really we have is, let's talk about the total eclipse of our chakras.
Maybe Bonnie Tyler can sing about that.
What was her name? Total Eclipse of the Soul?
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Oh, of the heart. Well, the heart.
The heart, you know, the fourth chakra.
The fourth chakra. The thing about four is that it's balanced. So what it takes, the
hopefully.
Fourth chakra itself will be
hopefully it's
the,
balanced. I mean, you know, it,
well,
depending,
the body is going to be balanced,
right?
No matter whether it's
location wise, it's balanced, unless, you know, there's some misplacement of the heart, which can happen
in some medical conditions. Yeah. If we get into that area, when we look at the heart, we're looking, first of all, the heart of the home. That's one thing. The heart of our foundation, the heart of how we plan ourselves on the planet. That's one heart. The heart of our jobs. What do we have heart in what we do for work? Do we have heart in our home? Are we happy and satisfied there? Do we have heart in the well-being of our body? Then we get into the idea of the second chakra in terms of heart. Do we have a heart-filled relationship with our fellow human beings? Are we lucky enough to be in a specific relationship with someone that we love dearly? Or are we more or less lonely souls just drifting and we feel unattached and we've kind of lost our balance? Or are we single and complete within ourselves? That heart of situation in the second chakra is very important. Are we one of many in a family? Are we part of a family? Or are we single? You know, all of this is part of the second chakra. And then in terms of our own sexuality, the celebration of sexuality, and whether we have a sexually fulfilling life, or whether sexuality is not really an issue, but it's more the essence of sexuality with the earth itself, the connections and relationships that we form with the planet and nature and things like that. When we get into the third chakra, preceding the fourth chakra, we get into the idea of nourishment and change, evolving into something higher, creativity. Of course, you know, the stomach is a mystical element, not only in the sense of Jonah and the whale and in the belly of the whale and the stomach of energy. It holds our nourishment. It's the area of life that breaks down our nutrients and takes and distributes them throughout the body. So it's very important, that center of energy. It's also our first form of consciousness, because it's the navel where we're fed through the navel from the mother. So it's our first sense of being fed from outside of ourselves.
Right, and it's the intuitive center as well. So
the intuitive center. It's also, as Cheryl was mentioning, the heart of the sea, because we're enveloped in water.
Yeah.
And that salt content, even in the formation of developing into an embryo, we look like a salamander, we look like a fish. As we move forward, we start to look like a pig. I mean, this is science, this is medical evidence, that we evolve within the womb from the origins of the sea. And in that third chakra, we're looking at creation. That's why it's called the creative energy, and that's why we contemplate our navel, because it's our first form of lower consciousness. But it's so important in terms of the stepladder to the higher consciousness. So when we reach the heart itself, it's filled with intelligence. It's filled with an innate quality of how we connect ourselves to our fellow human beings, ourselves, the cosmos, the world. And then as we move higher, we get into the heart of communication, how well we articulate and express ourselves. And then, of course, imagination and spirituality. But they all have to meet inside the heart. And the heart is a language. It's just not a pumping organ that distributes the blood. The blood is part of consciousness and oxygen. And so this is what I think derives from the fact that how we look at the solar system for being.
Right. And that's essentially on a purely physical level. I mean, not to mention all the soul levels of the chakra system beyond the physical actualization.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I don't know that there are some cold intellectuals too, dispassionate, brilliant people on the planet, analytical people who very, very rarely put heart into any matter of the substance. But lo and behold, they have a passion for intellect. They have a drive to learn. They have a drive to be analytical. And that's not to say that there isn't heart in that energy, however cold some people may seem to be. You know, when you say you're cold-blooded, you're actually saying you're a reptile. But reptilian energy is a whole fascinating aspect in and of itself. I mean, some of our best friends, Chris and I, are lizards. And people will say they formulate relationships with the reptilian community. And then if you get into the cosmos and you talk about reptilian aliens and things like this, or evil energies or malevolent energies, it's still an aspect that there is a sense of duality on our planet. So when we get into this, to the idea of duality, each form of duality that we experience, whether it's in good and evil, light and dark, yin and yang, it doesn't matter. It all has its content. And the eclipse of duality, the total eclipse of duality, is the blending of the experience of having both light and dark within ourselves.
I think the negative connotation of reptiles is because of the snake in the Garden of Eden. I think that's why we have a basic negative connotation to reptiles in terms of, and they're cold-blooded, of course, too. But not all reptiles are demons.
Well, no, they're not. And as you know, some of those things were figuratively spoken about. And we're also talking about the Kundalini, and we're talking about the rise of consciousness within our spinal system. The idea that there is an inner being within all of us that speaks, and this is what gave us the matter of making choices, not just being robots that have to obey, and we're just like a computer that's directed according to the program. We are human beings that have the ability to think, to have the ability to analyze, to challenge, to observe, and to formulate new thoughts that we can own as human beings in our rightful place, apart from God, that we have a right to think. That's, I think, very important.
Yes, I agree. So let's, in the last portion of the show, Neil, let's talk a little bit about psychic development in terms of practical applications that people can use in order to develop, because there are many ways to do this. We've talked about it on other shows, but it's always good to revisit, and perhaps we can enlighten people in a new way today.
Well, true. The tools that I take out as my first toolkit is breath. I think breath is equatable to soul and consciousness.
Right, and this came up on the last show that we did in terms of breathing into pain centers and things like that. So the breath is multifaceted in terms of its use.
Yeah. And on a practical level, when people come to see us, we direct them in terms of the idea of breath to the third eye. So the idea of internalizing your breath and taking it to the brain, taking it to the third eye, which is tucked right beneath those physical eyes we have, thereby we awaken the third eye. And the naked eyes relax, and the third eye looks out into a world that we would not have otherwise seen. It is a world of cosmic energy, a world of transformation, morphing. We see spirits and guides. That's when we don't have to wait for the psychic world to materialize in front of us, like a common sight that four people see the same ghosts. But this is the idea of penetrating.
That is in terms of seeing a ghost that everybody's seen, that is something from the non-physical realm making itself into a physical, it's manifesting in physicality. You don't need to be psychic. So if you have a haunted house, you grew up in a haunted house, that does not mean you're psychic. It means that there were spirits that were manifesting in the physical realm,
Exactly.
That has nothing to do with being psychic.
Exactly. I mean, when I was a kid, spirits would appear to me that had died, and the souls would come, and the ghosts and all that. Spirits were there, and I was really traumatized as a child.
But
looking at these things.
But those
that
are.
Didn't mean that I was psychic. But,
right.
But they appeared. There was something about me that they were drawn.
They were drawn to. So I mean, there's a difference. There's a difference too, because I think that probably if you had, like a friend over for a sleepover, the friend would not have seen those spirits. So, I mean, it depends. It's a case by case type of thing. Would they have?
In my experience, I remember there have been times when people have been around me and experienced really weird phenomena on a physical level. So I don't know. Sometimes, but generally speaking, what you're saying is true. I mean, it sometimes it's just unique to the holder and not the participants around. But the but then what it gets to, you know, aside from the experience of encountering a ghost, which doesn't mean you have to be psychic. A lot of innocent, normal people experience
right.
ghosts and phenomena that have nothing to do with them being psychic. Being psychic is a development. It's a gift in and of itself. And what it does is it means that the element of your cosmic mind, something in there is active and hatching. It's giving birth to the physical body. And when that happens, you almost move into an alternate universe of energy. You're living on the planet, but you feel like you're not really part of the planet. Your experiences are different. You it's hard to find people who feel and see things in a common way as yourself. You hear things, you see things, you feel things, you articulate facts that don't seem to be there on a physical level, but then materialize as facts. This is a whole element of being in the mystical sense of existence. And this is where the third eye takes a most active role, because it's what it really says is that we're not the body, we're the soul and the spirit. Now the soul becomes actualized within the body. And we're not really dealing with the body at all. We're dealing with the cosmic soul within the body, which of course ultimately pertains to the spirit. But if we're just talking about the third eye and the travel of that, now we're exposed to past lives. Now we're exposed to the elements beyond time and space, the current time and space. And we start to hear things beyond our normal senses. And that's where the perception of developing our psychic energies are. Just as we develop our language, we start to mumble around and make these strange noises, and then suddenly we're directed in terms of how to speak, what words mean. It's the same level with psychic language. We can mumble around and say, well, I feel this, I'm getting that.
Right, with more intuitive sense, but when you're developing the third eye specifically and really, really putting energy into that development, there's going to be a progression of psychic ability on multiple levels with the involvement of the third eye.
There's a certain mechanical element of development, if you will, in terms of being psychic. As a child, I was intensely psychic, and I was doctors and people like that were studying me and all that business. But when I still had to develop it.
Yes.
I had to do a tremendous amount of research and practice and discovery and learning how to formulate relationships with the spirit world, and then graduate to an ethical standard and a responsible standard of how this gift is to be delivered to human beings I speak to. And I'm not always right. You know, it comes at some risk, and there's always some caution that has to be involved in the process of being a psychic human being, because you can't always be right. That's reserved for God. But you try to be. You try to be accurate. So what you have to do is you have to take a sense of responsibility and keep your ego out of it. For instance, this psychic, myself, I don't wake up and say, you know, I'm kind of feeling depressed today. I don't think I'll do readings. I keep my emotional state out of doing a reading. So the availability of being constantly in a spiritual sense of being, and that becomes the paramount factor of expressing yourself from both a universal standard to an earthly standard. It has nothing to do with your emotion.
Yeah, you have to have consistency.
Yeah.
Or there's going to be a you'll fall back into old patterns or habits and lose, you know, the progress that you gain will be lost.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, not in your case, but if a person is not consistent, I'm talking in a general sense.
Yeah, I mean, you have to turn existence inside out. I don't wake up, you know, concerned about what fashion or, you know, Facebook or my selfies or, you know, where I'm at, what I'm eating. I take a picture of it. I'm more concerned and wrapped up in the idea of ideas, helping people, gaining knowledge, discovering things. I mean, Chris and I spend our the bulk of our day working on a book of numerology. We devote our time to this 7 days a week. And we're doing readings and we're investigating, and our world is constantly filled with this. And we're doing breathing exercises and cosmic energy and all that kind of stuff. So this is our life. It's the totality of our existence. And in it, we experience the fulfillment of all the chakras, because it enhances relationship, it enhances communication, creativity, and ultimately, if we're lucky, it enhances us on a more of a worldly level, because we're also attuned to what's happening on the planet, not just in individual lives, but what's happening on a worldly level. So we take our business seriously, and we observe the worldly events that are going on.
Now, in terms of other people, they may not have the luxury that we do of being able to devote our entire life to this type of work. And so their progress with their psychic development may be on a different course than someone like me or someone like you, for instance. But, you know, you can, even if you are involved in other things in your day-to-day life, there can be a daily devotion to this.
Sure. Not everyone's going to devote themselves entirely.
You know, everybody's calling is different on the planet.
Yeah,
you know, we're all here to accomplish different things in our soul's journey.
I think sometimes you have to look at the epitome of any profession and then measure where you want to be on that pyramid. What's going to work for you? And, you know, when we talk about people who are impassioned and all they think about is creation and ideas and things like that, or people who are more just centered into their own life, we're not here to criticize that. We're not here to form judgments.
No, and obviously we have our own creative paths and interests too, but right now, you know, we are fully invested in this work and our project, which does involve creativity and the use of the mind. And
well, you know, when we
many
get
different
and when we get into
areas.
The idea of what's happening on the planet, in our world right now, and not just in the United States, but on a world level, this is to any thinking human being, this is of great importance. So to be involved in politics and what's happening in the world, to be involved in the situations that's happening in government. And not just our United States government, but world governments, or maybe the lack thereof. Mm-hmm. And to look at that in a total picture, this is our planet. We need to be concerned and involved in it. I mean, it's okay to be an isolationist. You know, you can do the I love Walden, and I love the people who John Muir and people who just move into the woods, and I'm all into that.
Yeah, that would be nice.
And just get away from society. And some of the most sacred ancient tribes, they don't know anything about the world. They don't even know what a telephone is. So, yes, there's something sacred and precious about that, too. So it isn't to say that by being involved in the world, that you also don't have your private den that you speak of, that place, that cave place where you and the cosmos, and there's nothing else but that. That's a fascinating aspect too. So I think we have to always keep in mind that the totality of existence just can't be segregated into one form of thought.
That's true.
And that's the part of the creation of being psychic, is that you expand your consciousness. It's about cosmic consciousness. And cosmic consciousness, as it's encaptured in specifically the sixth chakra, where the pineal gland is the den, is the cave of our existence.
Yeah, well, it's true. And in the last 5 years on a personal level, from where we started on the radio show in 2012 versus where I am now in terms of psychic development, it's a huge, huge amount of progress. So I imagine in 5 more years, if we're around that long, that it's going to be pretty magical. So.
Well, yeah, magical is the word, yeah.
Okay, so we are out of time. It was nice that we had a chance to talk a little bit today, Neil. And we are back on the air on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks to our callers and listeners. Bye-bye.